is a living full of abuse with understanding. The devil will answer when you call. When you cry, he will say, "Here am I." And evermore, the devil guide you, guarding you without fear. So the Eternal is always present. He is the power, the life, the conscience of the man. The Eternal is omnipresent, and whatever is eternal or present is past itself. Therefore, within man is the reality that is trapped in itself. 3. No condition to pull the apart. Our freedom, our free will is to understand the truth, to realize that life is, and that is our choice. To choose either life or death. And when we choose life, that is the source of all things. The kind of bell, and Isaiah said, and will answer you if you call. When you cry, he will say, "Here am I." Evermore shall the Eternal guide you, guard you without you. We saw in our last lesson that you, the force that is ever present around us, and in this lesson I'm going to show you our desire to be made a living force for you to understand. The universal mind and the individual mind are interlocked one with the other. And when this is realized, they act as one consciousness. Therefore, the consciousness in the universal mind must be one with the consciousness in the individual mind. There cannot be two of them. For the individual is but the reflection of the universal. And when we begin to realize the importance of this state, we will see clearly that there is no separation between the universal mind and the individual mind. One is the expression of the other. The universal mind gives rise to the individual mind. And the individual mind gives expression to the universal mind when it begins to realize truth. But we know that there are few people who have realized this truth. Even the intelligentsia amongst us is lacking in this knowledge. But when we, just as the prophets knew, that this is a truth, they give expression to the universal mind, and that universal mind then becomes great power in the universe. The great truth that means universal consciousness gives rise to the individual consciousness, and the individual consciousness gives expression to the universal. When this is realized by the individual, when then we realize the truth that there can be no separation between the individual consciousness and the universal consciousness, because there cannot be, that separation or feeling of separation between the two in your mind is but an illusion. In reality, that cannot be, because there is only one. The infinite cannot divide himself up and individualize himself, but not divide himself. And there can be no division in the universe, because the universe is one complete unit. Science has proved to us that the universe is one complete unit and it is electronic in nature, and there is no division in that substance. Out of this substance, everything is created. And we then see clearly what the prophets knew in the past. Science proved God. And as we go forward in our understanding, we will become greater in our expression. We will unfold more of the universal secrets. The secrets that are hidden in the universal mind shall be expressed through the consciousness of man. When you understand this truth, you cooperate with the universal mind and begin to express the unlimited resources of the universal mind. Its creative genius can be used by man when man becomes conscious in the universal mind. Consciousness is the directing force in mind, and through it all creative desire is fulfilled. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. The reason of that is that in your mind, in your inner consciousness, your desires are known. And if you really understand what the Master's words meant when he went to the tomb of Lot, Father, thou hast already heard. He knew that the Father knew his innermost thoughts. And he was giving expression to his own realization of this. And I will answer while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:4. Now desire is a mental current laden with power set in motion by your conscious awareness of the thing desired. Yet few people have understood the action of this wonderful power invested in man. Whatever the consciousness is aware of, so it is to the consciousness, so it is produced. But if your consciousness exists in your mind, in the relative, you have two images, the thing you desire and the lacking of that thing you desire. Therefore, your consciousness is aware of two images in the mind. Which image is the strongest? The one that you fear most. And that which you fear most, you lack. But when you know the truth, that the consciousness must be aware of something, so the Master says these words, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you have received it, you shall have it. With this knowledge, we are no longer controlled by desire. For when desire takes control, the individual is often the victim and slave to his own desire. Desire can become an object of the mind. It can flood the mind. It can overwhelm the consciousness because the consciousness is not aware of it. And the consciousness has been caught up in the desire, and it can be lost in the desire. Therefore, the desire controls now. Just like the individual when he suffers from some particular trouble. Therefore, with true understanding, desire becomes a conscious energy directed to fulfill what the consciousness is aware of. But before this power can be established in its unlimited nature, the individual consciousness must become aware of itself. This may seem Greek to some of you, yet nevertheless it is true. And how does the consciousness become aware of itself? The fact that you can consciously Discern every thought in your mind. Consciously discern every action and emotion that exists in you. Consciously recognize every desire. Consciously recognize every movement. You will recognize that these things are relative to the consciousness, and the consciousness becomes aware of itself as the analyzer, that which is viewing these things. Then the consciousness becomes aware of itself, separate and distinct from your thoughts, your images, your ideas. Although the consciousness is the creator of these things, that which is the creator and the created must be recognized and reconciled so that the one recognizes the other. So the consciousness recognizes its own creation, having no power except the power that the consciousness gives it. Therefore, you are free. But not only free, but you have the power to create, the power to desire. So, therefore, the desire becomes a living force with understanding. Through carefully selected exercises, the adept is directed to dwell upon his own consciousness until such time as he becomes aware. This is not so difficult to do if you will take the trouble to cleanse the mind by discerning all the movements therein, and at the same time becoming aware of yourself doing it. A master can produce a picture before your eyes by concentrating on the object he wants you to see. But this takes years of patient practice, and I do not intend to burden you with the ways and means of how it is done. Yet, in fact, you do this daily yourselves, in a minor way, unconsciously, by the power of your desired thought. The only difference is in the degree of awareness and the understanding of the application in the process of desire. So in this realization of the power of desire, desire thought, you are creating a picture. But if your picture is not defined, if you do not know what you desire, if you have got no complete picture of that which you desire, then your expression will become one that is vague and undesigned, undistinct. But if you know what you want, then your thought desire becomes the force that works, the force that creates and attracts to it all the various atoms and electrons that build around this thought desire. And the thing becomes an established fact. I'll repeat the instructions the Master himself gives. He says, ye shall not covet your neighbor's goods. At the same time he says, whatsoever ye desire when ye pray, believe ye have received it, ye shall have it. Paul says, things are not made out of things that are seen, but out of that which is unseen. He also says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You shall not covet your neighbor's goods. Showing definitely, he tells you concretely, What you desire, you must create for yourselves, because you are creators. The desire your neighbor's goods is of no value whatsoever, because you can never create that way. That is desire, or what we call coveting desire. But a real desire has power. It has a force behind it, when you understand. And then the Master says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you have received it and you shall have it. That takes away the double mind. You're out of the relative now. You're into the reality now. The one, not the double, the one. I have received it. I have it. Why? Because the Master knew perfectly well that all concentrated thought by a consciousness that is aware of itself produces that thing. Mind is the only substance underlying all things. Things are thoughts objectified. Suggestion proves that thoughts can be objectified upon the body, and the law of order suggestion has proved a great ally to the one who knows how to apply it. Even suggestion must become order suggestion. Suggestion in itself has no power over anyone. Unless that suggestion becomes auto-suggestion in the individual, it has no power whatsoever. In fact, many suggestions that are made to individuals create the very opposite because of the resistance of that individual. If you command a person to do a thing at once, you create a resistance in that individual to go and do the very opposite. That is why, when you understand the power of suggestion, you've got to make it become auto-suggestion. So you've got to put it in such a way that the individual absorbs it, takes it into themselves, and makes it auto-suggestion. Therefore, suggestion in itself is of no value unless it becomes auto-suggestion. That is suggestion by the individual themselves. And it has proved a great ally to one who knows how to apply it. The consciousness only can manipulate the mind stuff that the body is made of, but can also manipulate the mind stuff that supports the body and surrounds it. This is no idle dream, but actual fact. I'd be wise for you to remember it, for upon this truth depends a great deal of your happiness. And the consciousness is continually manipulating the mind stuff that the body is made of. And it's continually manipulating the mind stuff that surrounds you. Let me show you the state of the average mind when asking for something. When you create in your mind an image of any particular thing that you desire, you have the image of yourself having and the image of yourself not having. The image of yourself lacking and the image of yourself possessing. Now these two images oppose each other. In your mind becomes the battleground for these two images. Ask yourself now, which image dominates you? Look into your mind and see which image dominates you. You do not get what you want. You only get the manifestation of the image that dominates your mind. You don't get what you want. You get what you think deeply. Now think this over, and you will see how true it is. And that is why ordinary psychology is of little value to you and leads you astray to a great extent, because it deals with images only. And it tells you this. If you then have a negative condition, it immediately tells you to change over to the positive, and you will overcome the negative. But the more you think of the positive, the more that negative will rise up to combat it. Therefore, how are you going to get rid of this battle between the positive and the negative? They're both the same. The one is at the one end of the stick, and the other is at the other end of the stick. So when one is up, the other is down. But immediately you turn it up, so the negative is up and the positive is down. And there is a seesaw movement all the time. Now, which is uppermost most of the time? That which is uppermost most of the time shall manifest. Therefore, why struggle? I have told you before that struggling is of no value. It only hinders you. Become aware of yourself. Not separate from the infinite mind, or separate from the infinite consciousness, but the expression of that consciousness, the very consciousness that has created the world and all that is in it, in where there is no opposition, because it is whole in itself. Then you have the power to create, and the master's knowledge is this power. The only difference between a master and yourselves is this, that he has passed through all these phases of the mind by discerning what takes place in the mind, and reaches a point where he himself stands out as the creative principle in that mind. Therefore, the mind responds to whatever the consciousness is aware of. You will say to yourself, how stupid of me. Why did I not see this before? Yes, that is the cry of most people. Yet they go on repeating the error even after they have seen it. This is truly ignorance. You have not yet fully realized the importance of practicing a method that will ensure success. So we see that if you see clearly that it is the manifestation of the image that dominates your mind, and this is an infallible law of the working of the mind, whatever the consciousness is aware of, so does the intelligence fulfill. Only when you have the truth deeply established within you is the fulfillment of what you want. But you must know what you want. It must not be vague and ill-defined. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. The universal mind is all there is, and all must be in it, and of it, because there is nothing outside it. Therefore, you desire and create in the universal mind, and only that substance can form the image you hold, for there is no other. You cannot get outside the universal mind. You cannot think outside the universal mind. You must exist in the law pertaining to the universal mind. You cannot exist outside God. You must exist in Him, because there is no outside Him. You can't use any other creative power but his because there is no other. You can't use any substance but his because there is no other. Therefore, what do? You create the universal mind according to the laws of the universal mind, and then when you understand them, then you begin to create correctly. You see clearly that you must not have a double mind, that you must not live in the relative when you are creating, but live in reality when you are creating. There is a higher law of which I will speak later. That is when the individual has acquired a state of consciousness of the universal life operating in his own individual life, and does not feel the consequences of the fulfillment of that life. He says, "Thy will be done, not mine, O Lord." This is the master of masters. And into this state, all must grow. This is the Christ consciousness. It's the Father's will that will be performed. So the Christ, in this way, enters into the Father. He already knows that he and the Father are one. He submerges his identity. He no longer becomes alone and separate or distinct. He merges his identity in, and he loses his own identity and enters into that beautiful realization of the reality. In Luke 14, I think verse 26, you look it up. In the Eastern text, it says this: "Anyone who may come to me must put aside his father, his mother, his wife, his husband or children, and even his own life before he can become a disciple of mine." Now, when people read that, they say, how strange that the master would say, you must put aside all these things. In Moffat's and in the ordinary text of the Bible, he says, unless you hate not your father and mother. And people are alarmed because they see this. You must hate your father and your mother and your wife and your children and your own life also before you can become a disciple of mine. But the master is speaking from the Christ principle. He's showing you that these things are relative things, that these things are external and they live in the relative. The Christ is the only thing that permeates through Son, Father, Mother, brothers, sisters, and in his own life also. So therefore, he says, put off all these things and come to me, complete in the realization of the One. Very few can read the Master's words, cause and effect, but they do not know from what point he is speaking. The master will enter into the relative and you talk from the relative. Therefore, you must understand his words. He'll enter back into the Christ and you will talk from the Christ. Then you must understand his words. It is impossible to read the master's words unless you understand from where he is talking from, whether it is from the relative or from the Christ or the real. If you know then the difference between the relative and reality, and you will recognize and discern all that is relative. Then you will see what the Master says when he means put off this and put off that before you can be a disciple of mine. He doesn't say to forsake your husband or your wife or your children or do any of those things, because he tells you honor your father and mother. And he tells you also to love one another. But when he's speaking about certain things from the Christ principle, showing that which is relative, he deals with it so drastically that you must tear yourself apart before you can realize that great power that's behind all things, and recognize it as the one living force exists in your father, your mother, your brethren. Yet while you're growing the child, they hold in your mind, and it is necessary that you need to know how to use it. For by its misuse, much damage is done through ignorance of its operation in your mental and material existence. Let me show you how the attempt is played in manifestation. First of all, we ensure that desire is a conscious energy, which he must become aware of, and he must feel within himself the source. He consciously becomes aware of the universal energy and the light that surrounds him and in which he moves and has his being, and becomes conscious of the power that is behind him. The whole universe, in fact, tends to fulfill what he is aware of, and he knows that this intelligence will work out accurately. He has the completed picture of the completed object in his mind. When the painter goes to the canvas, he sees a scene in front of him. He has the scene completely in his mind, and he begins to put it on canvas. The details are worked in afterwards. So must you be like the artist. You must have the completed picture in your mind, and the intelligence will fill in. It is the Father within who does the work. The artist may not be aware of the fact that there is an intelligence working in and through him, of picturing the details. He may not be aware of this, but he who is aware of this, allows this intelligence to express it, not hidden. Recognition. The fact that whenever the consciousness is there, the intelligence will be. Well, the completed picture, ways and means he allows to be worked out by the universal mind which goes up. His desire for wisdom comes first, so that the use of the thing desired shall be to the best possible advantage of all time. So without wisdom, your desires may be a hindrance. They may be selfish, and very often most desires are selfish. Let me remind you of what the Master said in the beginning. Cover not your neighbor's. Whatever you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have. Well, Paul also says, things are not the other things that are seen, but out of that which is unseen. Also says, faith is the substance of him hoped for. the evidence. The next part in the operation of the law of desire is to take the desire out of the reality into the inner chamber of the soul, there to dwell upon it. Close the door and never again speak of it except to one who understands. If you release this word in words written or spoken, you will have dissipated the energy not stored up. This is why many desires are never fulfilled. And I'm sure you have seen it in many cases where you have not taken the desire into the soul and then closed the door. Now the desire, when it is completely in the soul, struggles for expression. You close the door and it requires only one way to manifest, and that is the manifestation of the desire. If then that energy which is consciously created the understanding that you have taken the desire and placed it secretly in the soul and closed the door thereon, and it begins, as you will see in your own mind and your own soul, it begins to gather energy with tremendous power. That energy will almost make you burst to tell other people what you desire. It will require everyone an escape of some way or another. It's like steam that is held in the boil of the engine. The steam is directed towards the cylinder, the piston, drive the engine. But if you open the cup of the boiler, all the steam will flow out and it is not directed to the cylinder, all the piston. No movement whatsoever. So is this then, this desire as it is grows in the soul. Then you know what's happening when you feel that terrific power to get your own ready for the manifestation of the desire. Not releasing the energy in any way through the cup of the fire or by the word of mouth, or by telling others what you are going to do, or that desire that you have stored up within you, because you will find you have released the energy that is behind the desire and it is never manifest. You have often found that in your own life. You have felt this desire that you want to do, and one time you helped the secret, and you found it through the power that was growing in that secret. But not knowing what this power was, he began to tell everybody because this energy wanted an escape somehow, and there was no energy left for the manifestation of the desire, and it became a dead thing in your soul. It died in your soul. As you release this force and words are spoken, you will dissipate the energy you stored down. That is why many desires are never fulfilled. We are told by the Master, in other words, desire in secret, and God will reveal to us openly the manifestation of our desires. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which heareth in secret shall reward thee openly. What do you do when you desire something? Well, you must desire to see your Father, which is in secret, shall hear it in secret, and shall reward you. Prayer is desire, therefore it builds its power from within. Release this energy in words spoken, are written, we can begin to have the power of that stored up energy in which you have become conscious. The fact that you want to tell others is proof that stored up energy is desired to release, but should only be released through the manifestation of the universal mind directs its power towards the object of the desire. It can be changed or thwarted by your own actions. You must be quiet in your strength and peaceful in the manifestation, knowing that the Father does the work. When you know the strength, there is quiet, there is calm. And when you know the law operating behind desire, you know there is the power to do it. You don't run all round everywhere and say, look what I have done, look what I have manifested, look at the truth that I have won. You know, I manifested the truth, I got this. I sat down the other night, you know, and I thought of so and so and so and so, and you know this morning as well. And you know, another person said, I did that too. I was thinking of her too. Fancy that now. Both of us thinking of her. Same thing. She wouldn't want to let the other fellow know that she was any better than the other. Then the other one will come along and will say, you know, I proved God in my life because, you know, I wanted something and I got it. You know what I manifested? I manifested more than God. I manifested this, I manifested that. I manifested all those sort of things. You can know the truth. Look at them and see how much the truth is. Therefore, you must be quiet in your strength. Going with the Father does the work. This desire becomes a living force when used with understanding. Jesus said these words, Father, thou hast already prepared. What a quiet and a peace and a Father. Thou hast opened them. Can you, in the quietness of your strength, and in your desire, see that with conviction, will, all our instructions given in this lesson and our desire? Let me sum up this very important subject for you. When you become aware of your oneness with the universal consciousness, it operates automatically. You create an image in your mind, and through your sustained imagination, the form is created. This work first is done in the inner realm, and sooner it will manifest in the outer. Mind has become the field. You create the image in your mind. Imagination is a form of bringing that which is in the unseen to the seen. But it must be sustained. The image must be sustained. That's what sustained imagination means. That there must be no opposition to it. If you have that image of yourself backing that thing, then you have opposition. But if you do what the Master says, you use your imagination. Whatsoever ye desire, believe ye have received it, you have it. That is sustained imagination. Bringing from the unseen to the seen, by the law of the universe, incorporate it in yourself, because you're the image and likeness of God. Neither of his own substance, his own life, his own consciousness, because there is none like it. Therefore, you are his image and likeness. Not only image and likeness, but in the performing on creating and through sustained imagination, you bring that which is unseen. Remember that the same life is manifesting consciousness, is manifesting through it. And I know that if I enter into the consciousness of God, my I find that this very desire existing in my consciousness must manifest through the consciousness of every individual who is necessary to bring that about. The universal mind is not separate, then you do not exist outside it. We all exist in the one mind. Therefore, if I think the universal mind, knowing that my consciousness is the creator of that universal mind, that same consciousness manifesting through you and others is bound to bring into operation that very fact. It will bind and create and move consciousness that is in others, bring about the very thing I desire. Why, all the heaven and earth shall come into action and do my desire when I fulfill the law. It is in the universal mind that you are really created. Seeing is a sense, you use and see things that are already formed. But true desire is seeing something that has not yet come into form. But when we understand the means through which it will come into form, then there is no frustration. When we know what we are doing, we get good results. When we do not know what we are doing, we get haphazard results. Why? Because it's not defined in the one you do. You have no sustained imagination in the next. And the third and all important is that you are not aware. Consciousness in you is the consciousness of God, and that consciousness is the creative power in you, and the whole universal mind will come into operation to fulfill what that consciousness is. Father, thou hast already said, do you understand what the Father means? What Jesus spoke to the Father, do you understand what he meant when he said, Father, thou hast already had? He meant the totality of all things had them. The universe had them. And he called upon the universe to fulfill the law because he knew it. And the universe could not fail to do so because the Creator himself inaugurated that when he created the heavens, all that is in them. Desire and will are interlocked in the process, yet both desire and will must be free from anxiety or stress. You do not will with pledge to this national people, but with why. Neither can you truly desire the dark, but with that faith that moves not. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received it, then you shall have. Master desire, we must not only believe, we must also know that there is no such thing as matter. Matter is only the name of the opinion you hold of the God. Matter separated from energy does not exist. Energy separated from intelligence does not exist. Intelligence separated from consciousness does not exist. Consciousness must be aware of these, otherwise none exists. Let your consciousness become aware of the intelligence. Your consciousness becomes aware of the energy. Your consciousness becomes aware of the form or the desire. Nothing exists. But consciousness is the moving factor and envelops all things. All exists in the consciousness. All exists in your consciousness also. You are the image and likeness of the Deity. In miniature, you have everything. Life, God, substance, the power to create. Have not yet become fully aware. The difference between yourselves and a master is that he becomes aware, and you yet have not become fully aware. If I can convey this to you, then you will leave the relative and enter into the wholeness of things. There you shall find yourself the image, right? Not separate or distinct, one with you, then you lose your identity. Jesus said, put aside father, mother, your wife, your children, your sister, your brother, and your own life also, before you. Not from the heaven. But when he says, love ye one another, he's speaking from heaven. He also says these words, he who does the will of my father is my mother, my sister, my brother. Aware of these, otherwise none exists. All must be known in the consciousness to be known at all. This is the law, but the consciousness is aware of, so the intelligence will prevail. The great mass struggle is but the effect of the individual inner struggles in ignorance of the great truth that desires a living force and must be used. You see, the struggle that's going on in this world today is desire being used without understanding. A new era of great prosperity and abundance will appear when this is understood and applied. At present, we are all struggling in a world sick, disabled, and depressed, revealing the misuse of this great power invested in man. Its effects are worldwide, revealing the deep underlying defects in the use of this great weapon, which has been wielded only for the benefit of the self, with repercussions that has astounded the world. Yet the world is still ignorant of cause. Is it not necessary then that you should understand this great and mighty thing, the power of desire? Let your heart be light and glad in knowing the truth. Sets you free. All divine alchemist, thou hast formed all things by the power of thought desire. Teach me to desire in thee know that thy great alchemizing power be manifested in my life. And out of every seed of my activity shall grow some good. Thus thou shalt reveal thy magic, all who desire in thee. May all darkness and vision be transformed into noble aspirations. Each one to desire thy abode but there to transform the flock of darkness into the golden and sparkling flock of wisdom and truth. O divine mountain, then my desire will become thy living force, manifesting thy will beyond men. And